Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's read those verses together. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. Come on, someone just shout, I have. Authority over the devil. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, well, exercise it then. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're talking about, exercising authority, spiritual authority over the enemy. We believe God. I want you to look at what the text says. It says that they returned saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. But I want to go back to the very first verse in this chapter. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them, he says, verse 1, 2 and 2, before his face in every city and place, whether he himself would come. So he sent them out two by two. Verse number 2, it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send for the laborers into his harvest. And he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now you think about what he declares. He says, you on your own are lambs among wolves. That means you can't handle this on your own. He says, you are nothing more to the devil but dinner. He says, you're a lamb among wolves. You are nothing but prey for the preyers. That's all you are. You're nothing but another rung in the food chain if you try to do it by yourself. And then he said, now this is how they started. But then when they came back, they said the 70 returned. He said, now think about this, though. What he says is, I want to give you an assignment, and you're going to be in a position where you qualify to be eaten alive. Amen. Now, how many of us would sign up for this duty? Perhaps that's why at the beginning of the text he says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now, we know that God's desire, God says that there is a lot of souls that need to be saved. But he said there's not many people who are available to labor that those souls are won to the kingdom of God. Now, that's the plight, in essence, of the church. You never have enough workers. Amen. He says there's so many people that need a word, but so few who have set themselves in place to carry the word. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you available?
Are you available?
Now, I won't ask you to respond to the neighbor, but, just keep your eyes open. If you keep coming back here, you'll know whether or not they are really available by their actions, not just by their words. Amen. But we know that this paradigm never changes in the body of Christ. Now, you know how long ago this text was penned, and it could just as easily have been penned this morning. I could have simply uttered it to you for the first time. You heard it today, because the dynamics of the church has not changed since the Lord spoke in this text. The harvest is still plenteous. There are many sinners that need a word, but not enough saved folk that will labor to give them the word that God wants them to have. And so again, not necessarily actively, but if you would, at least you're figuratively or at least imaginatively, say to your neighbor, don't do it, but just think about it. You can ask your neighbor again, are you available? Now the deal is, all right, let me move on. Y'all flunked that test. I said, imagine it, don't say it, just think about it. Yeah, well, I got okay, but the Lord said, if you think about what this says, that's why we realize that not many people will make it into heaven, amen. Because not many people are going to make it, amen. Is it because there are not many that really embrace the purpose that God put us here in the earth? Amen. We don't really embrace the purpose for which we have been placed in the earth. A lot of us believe we're here to win the lottery. We're here to win fantasy football. We're here to be the big man on campus, the big man on the court. We're here to make a name for ourselves in academia. That's not the reason why we're here. Amen. The fact that you roll like you roll, that's good, if it's good. But that's not the end all. The only reason we're here, whether we believe it or not. Now, let me give you some clue. Now, and many of us will openly admit this. How many of us believe that when you are called home to be with the Lord, that he's going to be concerned about how many days you were absent from work? Or is he going to be concerned at all about what level of the organization you climb to? Whether or not you are a business owner, an entrepreneur, that God's never going to ask you any of those questions. He's not concerned about that. But only the Lord said that his desire, he says that he's going to require every person to give an account according, and he's going to be something rewarded according as his works shall be. Not your work for the secular institution that that God is using as a resource for your income. But God wants to know, what have you done to advance the kingdom? Amen? These are the things that are critical of us. And God says, listen, I'm sending you out as lambs before wolves. And that's just the beginning of it. But God said, I'll never give you an assignment without first equipping you for the work that I have assigned you to do. And we know that he sufficiently equips us, because we go down to the text in verse number 17, where he says, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even devils are subject unto us through your name. We may have been sent out as lambs before, among wolves, but we do realize that when we stand not in our name, but in your name, then authority, listen, it's demonstrated and orchestrated in our lives. Tell your neighbor, you've been prepared for this. Now, he wants us to keep the right perspective. He wants us to know that we have authority over the stuff that the enemy tries to use against us. And then God said, don't misunderstand the war that you're in. Don't misunderstand the battle that you've been called to fight in. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. He give us some clear insight on that type of battle in that text. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you know, chapter 6 deals with the warfare of the church. Verse number 12, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When I see that, I think about what the word says. It talks about the methods of the enemy. It's not the wiles. In the Greek, is the word methodos, which means how the enemy works, the methods that he uses to get you off track. Amen. And then you got to know that if God set a specific purpose in your life, you've got to know that the enemy's desire is to stop you from fulfilling the purpose that God called you to. Can somebody just say the devil is a liar? Amen. To believe that God has equipped us with what is essential for us to be victorious. He says, listen, the wiles of the devil, the way the devil moves. You know, the thing that happens in your life, if he ever wants you unnerved, if he wants you nervous, all he's got to do is he knows to just mess with your finances. Amen. And for some of you, it's not finance. You don't care if you don't have two nickels to rub together. You don't even care. But don't let no anybody touch my child. Amen. He knows the method to use to get you off course. He knows exactly what to do because you've demonstrated it over and over again. As a matter of fact, you said it. You said, do anything to me, but don't touch my money. Don't mess with my money. Huh? I heard Sister Annette saying when I came in about the fact that my wife allows everyone to have access to her husband. And then she said that women don't like folk messing with their husbands. Amen. The devil will use whatever is available. Whatever gets your goat is what the devil will use against you. Amen. That's why you got a purpose in your life. I don't care what the enemy does. I am not going to backslide because the devil is doing what he's doing. Tell your neighbor, if it's going on in my life, the Lord allowed it. And then you got to know that, listen, the Lord never allows anything in your life that he has not already equipped you to handle. Amen. How many of y'all know that nothing the enemy does has the power to overtake or to overthrow or to defeat you in your stand for God? How many of y'all believe that in this room? Listen, you've been through some things recently that you thought, well, perhaps the things God had for my life are now, listen, a null and void because of what's going on right now. And you know the Lord brought you through it. He brought you out of it. And the devil is upset right now because he didn't destroy you. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I don't care what he does. I know I've got the victory. Amen. If we know the authority that God has given to us, that God has placed in our life. That's why I always have concern when I hear people talk about things in their life to that extent. My heart is that no one would have anything that you would say, listen, please don't go there. You know what I'm saying? When you were younger, before you got saved, you would always say, if you talked about my mama, we gonna have to fight. Amen. You know, so what the devil let everybody talk about your mama?
That's right.
And you came to school with boxing gloves on because you know somebody's going to call her something that you know she wasn't. And you were going to be ready to go to war with that individual. Amen. Listen, and we still do the same thing. I promise you, in the church, you can do a lot of stuff, but I promise you, you start messing with somebody's child. Most people ain't been delivered from their children yet. Amen. Child 25 years old. That's what? Amen. And it's just not something. Listen, we have to grow. Whenever you grow beyond the point, maybe you teach your child, listen, to be more of an adult when you let them assume some responsibility. Does that make sense? Nicole is sitting back there. I mean, we just never approached child rearing like that. Amen. We never had a problem with anybody correcting our children. We just taught our children, listen, if an adult says something to you, all you need to do is just say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. If you say anything else, you got some problems when you get home. Amen. I know. Listen, but someone say, child, don't you? Not my seed. Don't bother my child. But the devil, you have to take authority over stuff like that. Nothing. If you entrust it to God, and I think they turned out well. I think our children turned out pretty good. Listen, letting, this is the deal. Just simply saying that, you know, there's an order that God said. And if we trust what the word of God said, I saw a report last night, I think it was, where some NFL player is being charged with whipping his child with a switch, and the child has some scars on it. I just like what the player said. I don't know about all this stuff. He simply said, I didn't intend to harm the child. I'm trying to discipline them. Amen. And I just believe that. So whatever the society rules where that's concerned, listen, I'm in the same camp with the NFL player. Amen. The Bible said you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And so listen, and if you believe that, then why when someone else, listen, is not sparing the rod with your child, then you got to put your suit of armor on and your boxing gloves on and tell them, meet me in the fellowship hall. I heard you've been messing with my baby. Come on. We have to be delivered from those things.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And declare, all we said to our children was this, if your name come up, you in trouble. Huh? The only way you're not going to be in trouble is if your name don't come up. I ain't trying to hear where she said no. Did your name come up? If your name come up, listen, punishment is next. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, the only way, you got to learn that it's not just what you do, but it's those you associate with as well. You always like to hang out with folk that don't mean to do well. Amen. Then you're asking for trouble. Can somebody say the devil is alive? Amen. So the Lord shows that we have authority over the enemy. And he lets us know, saints of God, that no matter what the enemy does, that we're not victimized by what he does. So I said what I said so that we can check what we're doing and what we're saying as we are matriculating, as we're passing through life. And when what you do, you learn when you're growing. When this happens, when you learn, listen, I don't say the things that I used to say. That's when you learn I'm taking authority more over the enemy now than I did before. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, God wants us to grow. I said earlier, listen, to maybe make it a little bit clearer, if you cursed every other word, 2 years ago, you know, you shouldn't be saying cuss words now. Amen. I'm not going to say it. You shouldn't be every other word. You shouldn't be saying it. And when you grow out of that, that means you see some growth in your life. Amen. And even in relationships, you got to grow to the place where you don't believe. Let me say it in two different ways. You got to grow to the point where you don't believe everybody's after your husband. You can't even have a decent relationship. Can't even come to church. Huh? And listen, ladies, everybody that opened the door for you, not asking you to marry them. They just trying to open the freaking door. Can we say amen?
Amen.
No, he's walking you to your car because we've asked him to walk, not because she don't even want you there. The brothers are. And because she let you open the door, it don't mean that she like you. Tell your neighbor, it ain't even like that. No, I mean, we're just being brothers and being sisters. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Amen. And we all nervous about everything. And listen, and making up stuff, glory to God. Y'all know how folk do it. But listen, but we're taking authority over the enemy. Amen. Let me say this while I'm out there. You know, we do a lot of touching your neighbor around in this church. Be sure you don't be touching that sister, brother, in a way she, what? I didn't ask you to. I said touch, I didn't say grope her. Did you get that? That's the only reason I go to church. When is he gonna get to touching my neighbor? I've been looking at him for the last 5 minutes. I can't get an amen. Can I get a touch your neighbor? Kind of.
Lord, help us.
No, we gotta move on here, y'all. No, it's a problem for some people. I'm talking about growing in the Lord and taking authority.
Yes, amen.
Can we do that? Amen. That's why some ladies that look down the road, there's some guys, and they moved to another room, all the ladies are there. So we're going to do some touching. It's going to be holy and wholesome. Now, don't get nervous about touching your neighbor now. I don't ask you to do that. Just know there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I used to teach young people, young ladies, not to let the little boys get no free feels, that kind of thing. Y'all can figure out what that means. Amen. No, just don't. Yeah, let's move on. But we're growing in the Lord. And we're saying to the Lord that we don't want the enemy to get authority over us. Amen. Because the Lord encouraged us to take authority over the devil. And listen, and when we're talking about spiritual authority, we need, one, to realize that we have spiritual authority through Jesus Christ. And then we need to exercise that authority. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, it says, as I turn back to the beginning of this text, this book, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, what he says in this text here is this. He says, one, verse number 2, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he says, I greet you and I extend to you peace. Amen. That means that no matter what the enemy is doing, that I walk in the peace of God. And when you're walking in the peace of God, it asserts that there is an authority that you know God has imputed to your life, that he has graced or empowered you with. Amen? That I have the authority of God. That it doesn't matter what storms go on around me. Remember, as long as I don't let that storm infiltrate my life, amen, or my person or my spirit. Does that make sense? That means I can be around the storm, but the storm is not going to be in me. Amen? We use the illustration of a ship that's on the water. Huh? The ship is around the water, but it's floating and moving along as the water doesn't get in it. Amen. It is in the water, but the water is not in it. Amen. You are in the storm, but the storm is not in you. That's why in the storm, you can celebrate God. In the storm, you can praise God. In the storm, you can lift your hands and magnify the name of the Lord. That's why the word of God declared. He said this. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, now thanks be unto God. So that means that there's no time like now to give God thanks no matter what stuff is happening in my life. And when you give God thanks, it's just a demonstration of your faith that I believe God no matter what the situation is. Tell your neighbor, I know I'm coming out of this. When you know that God has given you a word, you believe God no matter what the enemy says. That's why this text says, listen, not only must we know we have authority, but we've got to exercise the authority that God has given to us. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Tell your neighbor, I came blessed. Listen, you were blessed before the storm came up. What caused you to forget about who you are in God? Amen. And we know the devil is a deceiver. And all he does is try to coax you, listen, to deceive you into believing that you are not who God says that you are. I dare you to touch your neighbor now and tell him, oh yeah, I'm blessed. Oh, you did that mighty good. I like the way you touched on that one. Listen, when you know that you're blessed, that means that no matter what situation you show up in, you show up with the authority that God has given to you to see the victory through the storm that the enemy has tried to release in your life. Amen. And then we grow to the place. Isn't it something? The more you diffuse the deceptions of the enemy, you are saying to the enemy things like this, that whatever is allowed to come into my life, I believe God has his hands on it. Amen. Amen. Listen, that means, watch this, saints of God. When you make the choice that I'm warring again, not against flesh and blood, huh? That means that no matter how loud or boisterous the person becomes that you're in opposition with, no matter how vehement the storm that you face on your job, you always look at that individual not like they are, listen, the person that's coming against you, but you're saying to yourself, well, if they said it, then I know the Lord allowed it to come in my life. How many of y'all are hearing what I'm saying? You may have been turned down for 5 jobs in the last 3 weeks, but guess what? You better know that whatever thing happen in your life, you better know that, listen, if it happened, God allowed it to happen in your life. So listen, I'm not going to die in the midst of it. I'm going to celebrate God, listen, in the midst of my storm. I'm going to tell God that, listen, if God be for me, he's more than all the world against me. Can somebody shout, I know I've been blessed. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. Tell your neighbor, when I showed up at the church this morning, I didn't come for a blessing. I am the blessing. Tell him, I'm blessed already. The Lord's hand is on my life. The blessing of the Lord is upon us, and he had anointed us. Can you touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm anointed. I'm anointed for this. Glory to God. You better know that God has already prepared and equipped you to come out of what you're in the midst of right now. Can somebody shout, I got the victory already. Oh, God. Listen. Listen, some of y'all are standing up. The rest of y'all stand up. I've got to quit. Our time is out. Come on, stand up, saints of God. We are going over. Listen, but somebody, listen, open your mouth and shout, we got to exercise our spiritual authority. Listen, the Lord tell us this. He goes on to say, listen, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says he has made us accepted in the beloved. You better know that you're part of the royal family of God. And God has equipped you and given you authority over the enemy. Listen, the Bible said that when the disciples came back, they said, those men came back saying, listen, we rejoiced. We got excited. Because even devils were subject unto your name. Tell your neighbor, there's no name greater than the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for 3 dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.